Today on Older and Wiser.
Are you negative or optimistic? Today we'll reveal how hopeful people really are.
Also today, we'll tell you what scares seniors more than death and how far a person would go to avoid having a hangover.
Plus, why some people don't wash their hands in public bathrooms.
Stay with us. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Well, yeah, I'll admit it. There have been times where I haven't washed my hands in a public bathroom. I'll explain why a little bit later.
I hope you do.
Hey, everybody, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora up in Northern California. And today, as always, we're tackling public opinion surveys from last week. And let's get started. This one's from lifeisgood.com. They did a national optimism survey. And I'm optimistic this will be a good survey, Susan.
Yeah.
They surveyed 3,000 people across the United States about their personal sense of optimism. Here's basically the headline. 54% of people feel negative about the current state of our world.
Hmm. I might feel more in the 54%, even though I try to be positive.
I'm in the 54% as well, in terms of feeling negative about the current state of the world. And there's plenty to be nervous about currently.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting and something to feel good about is that 86% of people are hopeful that we will pass through this and come out okay in the end.
I'm not sure. I think we will, and I hope we do. I think I'm getting a little more pragmatic as I get older, but I just feel as though I'd like to feel that things are going to get better, but it won't just happen. I think we have to do something about it. And I'm not sure that we know what to do about it besides have people talk about it on TV or talk shows. What do we do when we walk out our door, engage with people in our community or our neighborhoods or our families even or our friends?
That's right. I'm
not sure that that's happening on a practical, real level yet.
It is interesting. This survey reveals that people with one or two children are more optimistic than people who don't have kids. I wonder why that is. I guess you better be
optimistic.
Well, I know.
You have two kids and I don't have any.
Well, I guess you better be optimistic because you got the kids, and if you were simply fearful for their future, your life could be more miserable, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Or the fact that you go through the paces of at least trying to be more optimistic or looking more optimistic or modeling the behavior of an optimist.
Exactly.
Maybe eventually it's one of these things that when you do it, you could kind of convince yourself. So that may be very true.
I guess it's not surprising that this survey reveals that people who spend more time watching TV or using social media are more likely to be pessimistic. That doesn't surprise you, does it?
Well, no, if you're watching, especially if you're watching the news.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch the news and you don't want, I mean, sometimes I have to tell you, honest confession here, I tend to watch, I guess what I would, maybe some people would call, you know, junk food TV. And that is, you know, reruns of favorite old sitcoms.
Like, I do that too. I sometimes will turn off MSNBC or CNN or whatever I'm watching and turn on like an old episode of Leave It to Beaver or something cleanse the palate, you know, just to kind of take off a little bit of the cloud of gloom that hangs over us all the time.
Something that you know is a surefire laugh.
Yeah,
if
you
know for sure that the writers on a particular show always made you laugh consistently, you can't watch one episode without laughing out loud, then that's the kind of thing that I go to just for literally comic relief.
I think this is interesting. Dog owners are slightly more optimistic than cat owners.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know why.
That I have a I pick a bone with that one.
I don't know why. Maybe dogs. Well, dogs are happy animals generally, and maybe they perk you up more than cats. Cats can be negative, right? Cats can be. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's it. People who watch sports, whether in person or on TV, are more likely to be optimistic.
That does not include me. I'm not a sports fan. Just when there's something big going on, I will watch. Of course, I like the Warriors, but so I don't know. I don't think that affects my optimism one way or the other.
Youngins, they seem to be pretty optimistic. 18 to 29-year-olds, more so than all the rest of us.
I find that surprising.
Okay, moving on to our next topic today. Americans are excited to grow older, but they worry more about one particular thing. And in fact, they worry about this particular thing more than even death. What is that one particular thing that older people worry about more than anything else, Susan?
I'm guessing it's money.
No, interestingly, it probably should be money, but it's health care.
Yeah.
Fear that you're not going to be able to take care of yourself as you get older.
But with the health care comes the cost, and that affects your money. Because how many times do you hear that somebody is, you know, one catastrophic illness away from bankruptcy or something? And you think that's just bizarre. And then something lands in your family or your lap, and it makes a difference.
This survey was commissioned by TD Ameritrade, and they surveyed about 2,000 U.S. adults. One of the things that came out of this was that the average age which one would classify themselves as old is now 74. In 2009, we thought we were old when we were 68. Now, in 2018, we think we're not old until we're 74.
Well, how old is the oldest boomer right now?
Good question.
72 or 3 or 4?
Up there somewhere, yeah.
Okay, so I would say watch for that to change soon.
We keep going up. Boomers
are
going to hang on to...
It must be those other old folks over there, you know.
Baby boomers are not going to admit they're old and ever, mm-hmm. ever.
I think it goes back to money. If I had to say what I worried about the most right now, it would be money.
It says here that only 26% worry about death. So death
Think about it this way. If you haven't got a lot put away and haven't saved, and a lot of people have not, most surveys will tell you that our group has not, boomers have not saved enough.
That's true.
To retire. They
haven't.
Just haven't.
No.
And they can't now, even though they know, oh, I better save something. Well, I'll do it next week because this week I've got a bill or I've got, you know, something to pay off or there's a healthcare issue. So,
well, even this survey shows that 72% of people really don't believe that Social Security will cover their spending. And I guess that's a very reasonable thing to believe because, but that I guess that means that another 20 or so percent think their Social Security is going to cover them for the rest of their lives. I don't know.
It's better to have it than not.
Yeah.
And it's better to have the maximum than the minimum, but whatever it is, it's going to certainly be something most of us will depend on quite a bit. And the problem is that the costs don't freeze when the money-making ability does.
Absolutely. Well, this is a sad and depressing thing to think about. Let's see if we can pull ourselves out of this gloom and doom to talk about something else you might want to pull yourself out of after a long night of drinking. A hangover. according to this survey from Forbes magazine, they ask more than 1,000 people, mm-hmm. what would they do to never have a hangover again?
Don't overdrink. I mean, I don't see this anywhere. Did somebody say, did I miss it?
Actually, that was one of the don't drink ever again. That was one of the things.
Well, you don't have to not drink ever again, but you have to remember that if you're going to have, let's say, a glass of wine with a meal, or you're going to have a beer with a friend after work or just meeting or what have you, don't have three, have one.
Susan, when was the last time you had a hangover?
You know, I'm trying to remember. It's been a very, very long time because when I've had them in the past, and I haven't had many, I have to tell you, I thought, I'm never doing this again. So that alone reminds me, if I don't want to go through this, there's a reminder there. And the reminder is next time you want that second or third glass of wine, stop.
I would think most people who get a lot of hangovers are people who get a lot of hangovers are probably people who forgot what the last one was like and allowed themselves to go and do it again. But I suppose if you get a lot of hangovers, you probably have a problem, a drinking problem, would you?
Well,
not?
That's true. That's
yeah.
true. And most people who have an alcohol problem start, a lot of them tend to be in denial about it.
This survey was conducted by Rehabs.com, a treatment referral website, and they made sure that the 1,000 people that they surveyed were actual drinkers, drinking from 1 to 10 drinks in a single sitting. So that right there, that eliminates a lot of the questions we had before. All these people,
Wait a minute.
All these people in the survey
wait.
Solid
actual drinkers drinking
yes.
from 1 to 10. I don't think an actual drinker is someone who has one glass in a sitting. Not that you have it in every sitting. I don't know if that's the case. But if you have one drink a sitting, I don't think that makes you an actual. I mean, you enjoy alcohol, yes, but it's much different from somebody who would drink 10 drinks in a sitting.
Yeah. Well, you're right. There's a spectrum.
I don't like
of
all that
here.
Painted with the same brush because I think that's inaccurate.
At any rate, I think what we've determined is that many of the people in this survey are probably heavy drinkers and drink a lot and are very familiar with what a hangover really is. According to this survey, people would pay, on average, $49 a month to never have a hangover again.
Now that's, how stupid is that? I'm going to give you $49 so I'll never have a hangover, something I'm going to get if I drink too much.
Guess what?
I know how to save money on the drinks and the $49.
I don't think it's the money. I think it's the physical problem of the hangover. If you could take a pill that for $49 a month would prevent hangovers, people would continue to drink as much as they are. They would just spend that money to avoid the pain and agony of the hangover.
Well, that may be true for people who drink enough that they have a problem that they get a hangover. I mean, to get a hangover, you have to drink more than, have one drink with a meal, let's say. I mean, the food is absorbing it. Also, are you 5'2" and weigh 100 pounds, or are you 6'2" and a guy and you weigh 250 pounds. I mean, all of that makes a difference. But if you're getting a hangover, it means that whatever size you are, whatever sex you are, you have drunk too much.
Too much.
And when you get to a certain point, when you're old enough to say, gee, well, I give you $49 a month, if you're old enough to spend that money, you're old enough to know the difference between one drink and 10, or I can have a drink and a half, and that's my limit. Know where your limit is. That's all.
As we delve deeper into this survey, we realize it gets weirder and weirder. And here's why. 8% of those surveyed said they would be willing to give up a stranger's life to never have a hangover again.
Oh, my gosh. Who are these people? Get a life.
Who are these people? 5% said they would give up a fingertip never to have a hangover again.
Oh, I have two words for them. Club soda.
Apparently 4% of women and 6% of men said they'd give up their pet's life if they could never have a hangover again.
If you would say that, you don't deserve to have a pet in the first place.
These are some hardcore drinkers.
These are stupid. These are stupid people. Stop doing this.
Thank you, rehabs.com, for that
If somebody has a problem, get help. If you don't have a problem and you're going to do stupid things to avoid a hangover, the first thing you do is you say what's causing the hangover. Know your limit and stop there. It's just, I hate to say it, in the words of Nancy Reagan, to paraphrase, just say no.
Just say no. I think some of the survey respondents need some help for a much deeper level than just their alcohol use. There's something deeply wrong with some of the
that
people.
Deeply is the word there, yes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Our next survey, here's what it's called. It's called the Annual Healthy Hand Washing Survey, done by the Bradley Corporation. They manufacture commercial restroom and emergency safety products. Isn't this interesting? If you work for the Bradley Corporation, I guess you'd be proud of the fact that annually you do the Healthy Hand Washing Survey. What are we doing?
So.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about what you do after you go to the bathroom. Do you wash your hands? First of all, let me say, yes, always, and possibly with a song.
With a song.
Happy birthday. Have you heard it?
Oh, because you've got to get through the whole song to make sure you've lathered up enough, right?
Well, yeah. You know, you can't just once over lightly kind of thing, you know.
The folks at the Bradley Corporation asked 1,035 U.S. adults about their hand washing habits at work and in public restrooms. And 56% of those said they frequently or occasionally see colleagues leave the restroom without washing their hands.
Ew.
63% of men frequently see other people leave the bathroom without washing their hands. I think it's interesting that none of them will admit that they themselves left the bathroom, only that they witnessed other people leaving the bathroom.
I'm going to guess that women wash their hands more frequently after using the bathroom than men.
It looks that way. 49% of women said they also saw women leaving the bathroom without washing their hands.
Mm-hmm. I don't see a lot. I do not see a lot of people leaving public restrooms without washing their hands.
Every now
and then you do. But generally speaking, mostly the people where I go to the bathroom in public.
Oh, up there in Northern California, you have lovely bathrooms too. As I said, I have on occasion left a bathroom without washing my hands, and here's the reason why. The bathroom itself was filthier than anything that I had touched in the last 2 minutes.
Even the water coming out of the faucet and the soap?
Here's the problem. You've got to turn the water on, you have to touch something generally, or...
Okay, so, all right, I know
so
I get
here's
it.
The thing.
You turn the water on. Wait a minute, let me walk you through it.
Yeah, yeah.
You turn the water on, you get your hands wet. You can usually, a lot of these things have sensors now. I don't know where you're going to the bathroom, but
okay,
you better.
Well, actually, the last time it happened, I was on a road trip and had stopped at a gas station bathroom.
Okay. All right. But here's the deal.
And there was
After
no
you do
sensor.
The final rinse,
yeah.
you can often close the, especially if it doesn't go
elbow.
Off by itself,
Shut.
You can do it with your elbow. Right?
Yeah.
And then you get the paper, wait till the paper, sometimes it comes out with a sensor, but you can pull the paper, dry your hands on the last piece of paper, open the door with it, and then toss it.
Yeah, that's my normal routine, or I'll pull my sleeve down.
Mm-hmm.
Far beyond my hand and use the end of my sleeve to open the door.
Right.
There's a lot of routines I've got for keeping my hands clean, but this particular bathroom was so disgusting. I just felt like I have wet wipes in the car. I'm going to the car. I'm going to wipe my hands with the wet wipes, not touch anything in this bathroom.
I hope you did when you... when you opted out.
Yes. Yeah, no, I did.
Restroom cleansing.
But
go ahead.
What is it that you're touching that's so disgusting and unclean that it would soil your hands so badly? I mean,
Do we really need pictures here?
I'm not, Susan, I'm not peeing on my hands.
I understand that.
So I don't understand why it's such a big deal to...
I'll tell you one thing I understand now. There's a reason that the Queen of England wears gloves all the time.
That's good.
I think this has a lot to do with it. She's always, maybe she has a spare pair of gloves in the purse, and that's why she carries the purse.
Could be. Well, she's got a lot in that purse. She's got, we talked about this like a year ago. She's got, in that purse, she's got some mints, and she has $5 or £5 to put in the church,
The collection.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake.
Isn't that interesting?
£5. How much is that in dollars?
It's probably $7.50.
Not a lot for the Queen of England.
She owns the place. What does she have to do?
That's true. She
it's all for
does.
Show anyway.
Let's hope
it's so. All for show. So bottom line is you are unwilling to admit that you've ever left a public bathroom without washing your hands, right? Because you always do it.
I always do it. If I can't imagine, I don't remember ever leaving a public bathroom without washing my hands.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Even private lit bathroom. Even at home, I wash my hands. That's it.
All right. Well, that's about it for us for this edition of Older and Wiser. We're glad you joined us, Susan. It was fun having you once again.
Just remember, Bob, I'll be up in Northern California washing my hands.
Okay. All right. All right, folks. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit us at olderandwiser.com.